Happy to be joined now by Jonah Carey, MLB columnist for CBS Sports SI Now, host of the Jonah Carey podcast as well. Jonah, thanks so much for this. Do you have strong feelings one way or the other about no more intentional walks?
Nope.
All right. Do you think it's worth talking about? Like, I will miss the possibility of something weird happening. I know once the season starts, and certainly by the end of it, I won't have a second thought, but the fact that we won't get those weird clips, and I know there's not a ton of them, but it does happen, if not every year, every other year. We had Gary Sanchez doing it, reaching out and hitting a ball into the outfield for a sacrifice fly. That's dead forever now.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't base things on tiny base rates. I mean, what's the point of that? We're trying to think of larger issues here, and it's not going to change a lot. I think on average, it's supposed to shorten games. Intentional walks, by the way, don't even happen that often.
No, that's the thing.
On average, they're projecting that it'll shorten games by about 35 seconds mm-hmm. per game. But at least that's spread out over every game for 162 teams, as opposed to waiting all season for somebody to sacrifice fly one time. So, yeah, I mean, if you're playing the numbers here, it makes sense. And I get it. Obviously, the best ways to speed up the game are to limit the number of times that you could throw over and to speed up the speed with which you throw a pitch. Those are the major things, but MLB doesn't yet want to take bites out of those, so they're going with this, which does not affect play in any way.
Do you think the game needs to be shortened? Do you feel, watching a Major League Baseball game, that there's too much downtime, that something needs to be done here? Because apparently Rob Manfred feels pretty strongly enough about it that he would get into a bit of a war of words with his union. Do you feel that way?
Pace and time to me are not quite exactly the same thing. Practically speaking, it ends up being the same thing, but I don't necessarily mind sitting at the game as long as there's action. Mm-hmm. So if you are watching a guy throw over 12 times to first base for a guy who's got three stolen bases, that is slowing down the time, but really it's a problem of pace. Now you're just getting bored. If it's a six-run inning, and, you know, start a double and a single, and the team, you know, Jays are down 7-1. Well, a six-run comeback, and the inning takes 40 minutes, and it has five pitching changes. Well, so what? It's exhilarating. It changes the pace of the entire game. That's great. So I think that it's not about making the game shorter, per se. Like, the whole idea of the extra inning thing and put a guy on second base to start extra innings, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, because that fundamentally changes the way the game is played. And if a game is an extra innings, by definition, it's an exciting game, and we don't want to shorten that stuff. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is we want to try to shorten the day-to-day. We want to try to shorten things like, you know, just the pitcher stepping off and throwing over and stepping off and throwing over and holding the ball and waiting for five sets of signals. So the question becomes, is MLB willing to take bites out of those? I mean, if that happens, that would change the time, but I think moreover would change the pace, which I am favoring.
We had some umpires retire, four of them, yesterday. And I know... You know, fans, there's nobody has like a favorite umpire. Nobody's like, oh yeah, I can't wait for whoever. Joe West is umpiring home plate today. I wasn't going to go to the game, but on second thought, maybe I'll head down to Rogers Center, check it out, because Joe West is there. But there are a few umpires, you know, because either they've had some very famous controversial calls that have gone against your team. Maybe that's the case if you're a Tigers fan and you see Jim Joyce's name among the retirees. Bob Davidson, though, I feel like he crosses all fan bases, the boundaries there, because I feel like he's a guy that likes to insert himself into the action, and the Blue Jays have seen him a couple of times, most notably, I guess, in the World Series, costing them a triple play. But I mean, that was just a judgment call he missed. But there's been more than a few where he's taken it upon himself to see something maybe that didn't need to be seen.
Yeah, if you want to shorten games, getting Bob Davidson to retire is a great way to do it, because he calls Bach a lot.
Yeah.
More than any other umpire. So, hey, you know, I guess that's a few seconds shaved off games. I think my favorite Bob Davidson story was August of 1989. I was 14 years old. I was at my beloved Olympic Stadium in Montreal. And the Expos were playing the Dodgers. That game, by the way, would end up being a 1-0 final in 22 innings.
Yeah.
22 innings for 1-0. One of the most ridiculous games. Probably the most ridiculous game I've ever seen. But what made this really great was Yuppie, the mascot, in about the 14th or 15th inning. Okay, you know, the diehards that are there, me and basically 500 idiots, were invested, and Yuppie decides that he's going to go put on pajamas. And he's going to dance on the dugout in pajamas, which is great and entertaining or whatever. Tommy Lasorda decides that he's had enough of this stuff. And after Yuppie is dancing and dancing on the Dodgers dugout, he complains to Bob Davidson, who ejected Yupi from the game. Yupi got ejected, and Davidson has also ejected a couple fans from games and so forth. As you said, he likes to insert himself into games. So, listen, Joe West has his problems. Angel Hernandez can be really weird with how he enforces things. There are some guys who have really weird and inconsistent strike zones, but Davidson's pretty awful. And the fact that he lasted this long is, I don't know, a tribute to a strong union, I guess, is what you could say.
Yeah, yeah. Let's call it that. Talking to Jonah Carey, I'm Ben Ennis in for Andrew Walker. Let's because we have nothing to base anything on except for the offseason moves and roster configuration at this point. Let's have a look around the American League East for a second here, Jonah. And I think Blue Jays fans are trying to find the reason why the Red Sox might not win the division outside of, you know, baseball just being weird, and sometimes weird stuff happens.
Right.
But is there a maybe not a glaring weakness? I imagine there's no glaring weakness, but is there a reason you could see the Red Sox not living up to the lofty expectations most people have set on them?
Well, I mean, they lost Ortiz. That's a
yep.
big loss. And the Red Sox, it's funny, there's an interesting trend going on in baseball where baseball is the only sport that doesn't have a salary cap, right?
Mm-hmm.
For all intents and purposes, there is now a salary cap, because what's happening is teams like the Red Sox, Yankees, Giants, even the Dodgers are trying. They are respecting this $195 million luxury tax. They're saying this is effectively a cap because the penalties have gotten much stricter in the last round of CBA negotiations, such that going over becomes much more painful financially to teams. Now, the Yankees and the Dodgers and all these teams just have so much money from profit that they can swim in a Scrooge McDuck-like vault of gold coins. But the fact of the matter is maybe that Scrooge McDuck wants to keep some more of those gold coins. And so what's happening is these teams they're pinching pennies right at the end. So the Red Sox go out and they get Chris Sale, and they've made some other impact deals, but then they have one roster spot left, which is ostensibly David Ortiz's, and they decide to fill it with Mitch Moreland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Red Sox of the past might have said, well, wait a minute, Edwin Encarnacion is out there, $60 million. That's not a lot for Edwin Encarnacion. He can hit 900 home runs over the Green Monster. Let's go sign this guy. And they willingly, it's not because Mitch Moreland is a better this or a better that, it's because they wanted to stay under that threshold. So on the highest levels, you could see a little bit of flattening out of talent, such that the Red Sox, they're a very good team, but they probably left, let's say, two wins on the table between Encarnacion and Moreland. So if the Red Sox, you imagine them were a 95-win team, maybe they're 93 now. That's their average projection. And, of course, as we know, average projections mean nothing because real human beings play games.
Right.
So 93 probably means a range of 86 to 100. Okay, well, if the Red Sox come out on their small end of their projections at 86 or 87, I don't know that the Jays are great, but let's say that the Jays, you know, optimistic projection for the Jays is like 88, 89, 90, something
yeah.
like that. Well, if they win 89 and the Red Sox win 87, then they've won their division. So you look at it and you say, okay, the Jays still need to have more things go their way than the Red Sox because the Red Sox are a more talented team. But by virtue of this weird penny pinching that's happened, at least there's a little bit more of a possibility for competition. People will make predictions and they say, oh, this team is definitely going to finish first, second, or whatever. The real way to do it analytically is like with error bars and probabilities or whatever. The Jays are probably have like a 15% chance to win the AL East, which is not great, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility, and a lot of weirder things than that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and the fact that Moreland and Pablo Sandoval are maybe penciled into to both.
They're bad.
Yeah, yeah, they're both penciled in to start every day. I mean, Sandoval's a question mark, and yeah, Moreland's not that great. So let's talk about the Blue Jays a little bit. And they're going to go into opening day with apparently Justin Smoke as their everyday first baseman. Yeah, he's bad, Jonah. And we keep hearing every story that's written about Justin Smoke in relation to this Blue Jays front office, and even at the time of him signing the extension, and you would hope it would be true then, is that they have some sort of metric or there's some reason we're not aware of that they think more highly of Justin Smoke, maybe about the potential for him to be a better player down the road, or something that is happening that we're not seeing. I don't know what that is. Like, even the defensive metrics don't say that Justin Smoke is great shakes at first base. Do you believe that Justin Smoke can be anything other than maybe at best a league average offensive player?
Well, again, if you go by probabilities, there is like a 5 or 10% chance that he could be a league average player and a 90% chance that he is worse than that or total garbage. and I think that's well in play. And actually, to me, the biggest weakness on the Jays roster, and I'll explain this, is their outfield, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the fact that Kevin Pillar is a great fielder, but really not a good hitter at all. On-base percentage is 300 or lower. That's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Left field, I don't like Herrera or Upton either. But even Bautista, you could argue, should not be a right fielder at this point in his career. You know, if injuries and age and all this stuff are concerned, it's not that he's on a five-year contract, but even this season, he's probably going to be a defensive liability, and a lot of doubles and triples are going to scoop by into that outfield. So if Bautista should be your first baseman, you needed another outfielder. And the outfield market was thin, but a guy like Reddick or Fowler or somebody like that would have solved a lot of problems, because, assuming you're keeping Bautista, because Bautista goes over to first base and Justin Smoke gets thrown into Lake Ontario, which is where he should be. So this is where they are, where their outfield is weak and their first base situation is weak. And I don't know why they didn't go after, whatever, Chris Carter, Brandon Moss, or all these guys were all better than Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
Hard to say, other than the fact that maybe they screwed themselves by giving him a two-year contract. But once they do that, they needed to have gotten an outfielder, and they didn't. And so this is the issue that I have with the Jays. Still a very strong roster in many ways. I love Donaldson. Tulo, you know, even if he gives you just a decent bat, is a remarkable fielder. Yeah, Devin Travis, a good young player, great young rotation. I'm actually very bullish on the bullpen. I think that Howell and Smith were nice little acquisitions at the end there, too. But they just left themselves with so many holes, man. The bottom three of the lineup is terrible.
Yeah.
Bautista defensively is terrible. They just sort of, it's not a bad club, but it's just like, why did they stop there? I just sort of don't get it. Unless they see something in Smoke that nobody else, literally nobody else,
yeah,
in all of baseball does.
Well, that's what they keep intimating that they do. And yeah, yeah, it's yet to manifest,
but he's
itself.
He's 23 years old. That's the other thing.
Right.
You can expect improvement from guys, but he's 30 at this point, roughly. You know, you don't expect this to be an age where somebody just suddenly takes a leap. That's the issue.
Nope, you really don't. Although, I mean, there are a couple of occasions that that's happened, but yeah, it's definitely not common. What about the rotation,
right,
which is expected to once again be this team's strength? I mean, I say once again, I mean, it was supposed to be one of their weak spots last year, but they led,
yeah,
the American League in ERA among starters. Is there any regression, a negative regression you see there? Because I guess there's some that believe maybe Jay Happ pitched above his head, but maybe that Marcus Stroman can be better than he was a year ago. Are you believing in Aaron Sanchez? Or do you think what we got last year, well, some guys will go up, some guys will go down, that the overall, it'll be about the same performance from this rotation?
I mean, I believe in regression as a force no matter what. Not so much this specific guy or the let's break down how good this guy is. It's just that when things happen that are unusual, they tend to go back toward the norm. No matter how good or bad a guy is, it's just going to work out that way. So Russ Martin, for instance, was absolutely just beyond terrible for a while last year, many, many weeks. I don't see that kind of thing happening again because, A, Russ Martin is better, and, B, it's just unusual to have that kind of – it's like basically going to the craps table and just rolling snake eyes 30 times in a row. It's like,
yeah,
no matter how bad your catcher is, and Martin is not bad, that's an unlikely scenario. By the same token, it's not just Happ. It's been Happ and Sanchez and Estrada, and these guys all stayed really healthy too. That doesn't mean I'm going to say, well, that obviously means that Sanchez is going to miss 6 weeks with a flexor tendon. It doesn't really work that way. It's just that expecting each and every one of these positive outcomes to happen is an unlikely scenario. I can't predict for you which one because I'm not a fortune teller, but something. Some guy stubs a toe and hits the DL. A couple of Estrada fly balls that are caught on the warning track go over the wall, so his ERA goes from, whatever, 3.5 to 3.9. These little things are likely to happen. Probably not a disaster of a regression, but considering how many things went right for that rotation last year,
mm-hmm,
you probably have to assume at least a little bit of a backslide. Not because they're not good, not because they're not young and healthy and vibrant and awesome, but because weird things happen because it's baseball.